Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
Good morning. You're listening to WYLL AM 580. To keep up with Illinois public media news throughout the day, be sure to visit us on our website, wyll.illinois.edu. Now with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you, Chris, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that business scaled back on capital good purchases in February. A key measure of business investment, the non-defense capital goods orders category, which excludes aircraft, dropped by 2.7%. Overall, though, orders for durable goods, products designed to last at least 3 years, increased 5.7% last month from January. Grain crops in Brazil's northeast have come under attack from swarms of caterpillars. Bahia Farm Groups estimate the caterpillar attacks on the region's soy, cotton, and corn could cost $1 billion between increased insecticide applications and lost yields. Northeastern farmers typically spray soybeans about five times each cycle, but this year have been forced to spray up to 10 to 12 times to control the caterpillars. Bahia State is the seventh largest soy-producing state in Brazil. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 14,532, is up 84.5 points. The NASDAQ is at 3249, up 14.5. The S&P 500, 1559, is up almost 8 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will continue to see weather conditions that are less than ideal for getting into the fields during the first week of April. Planting is supposed to occur during that week, but we won't be able to see a lot of field work take place because of cool temperatures across the region and wet fields. Most of the region is saturated or nearly saturated, and the prospects for getting significant amounts of additional precipitation are only fair, but the temperatures will not be warming up, and without a significant warming trend, we're likely to be left with slow evaporation rates and an abundance of moisture still on and in the ground. The temperatures will be below average as we move forward through these next several days, with daily high temperatures limited to the 30s and 40s across a big part of the region. Some locations may get a little bit warmer, and especially as time moves along, but it's still a long way from the springtime temperatures that we should be seeing at this time of the year. High temperatures will be in the 30s and 40s for the next couple of days in the northern parts of the region, while readings in the south will be in the 40s and 50s. The odds are fairly good that we'll end up seeing the temperatures warm into the 60s in southern areas by the time we get into the weekend, just before another cool air mass drops into the region. That cool air mass will drop temperatures down once again, slipping into the range of maybe 40s and 50s once again, with a few 30s across the north. Low temperatures at night are expected to drop back into the teens and 20s quite often over these next few days. Most of the coldest air will be in the north, but tomorrow morning we'll see freezes all the way down to just north of the Gulf of Mexico coast. That raises quite a bit of concern as well for portions of the delta in the southeastern states for frost and freezes that may occur across some of the winter wheat and corn producing areas there. Damage is expected tomorrow morning. We'll expect to see some sterilization for the wheat crop that is in the joint and boot stage of development in areas where temperatures will fall below 28 degrees, and there will be some of those areas out there. The temperatures will be really close to the damage threshold tomorrow morning in a very large portion of the region, but assessing the damage is not going to be easy. We'll have to wait until the harvest is in before we'll really understand what the damage was. However, we do expect to see a little bit of loss come from the region. Relative to the whole of the nation's winter wheat crop, we doubt seriously it's going to have a huge impact, but 2 or 3% of this year's crop will have been damaged from frost and freezes this week, including that which occurred in Texas earlier in the week. Well, we do expect to see precipitation occur across the Midwest on a periodic basis, but it's going to be lighter than what was advertised previously. I'm not totally convinced that we won't see an increase in precipitation in future computer forecast model data, but for right now, it looks like for the next 4 days or so, we're going to see restricted amounts of precipitation until a cool front cuts through the region this weekend, and that will likely bring snow and some rain back across the region with cooling temperatures once again. The odds are fairly good that a significant bout of precipitation will begin impacting the region again next week, and that is one of the primary reasons why we'll still be out of the fields when we go into the second week of April. In the meantime, it looks like weather overseas is relatively stable right now, but we are expecting flood problems in portions of Europe, as well as the CIS, and also in portions of Canada's major grain and oilseed production areas. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's go ahead and look at the electronic trade in Kansas City. May wheat, 760 up one. July, 765 and a quarter up one. September, 777 and three quarters up one and three quarters. May wheat in Chicago, 727 and a half up a quarter. July, 729 and three quarters down three quarters. September, 737 and a half up two. May corn, 728 and three quarters down four and a half. July, 710 and three quarters down four and a half. December, 570 down two. May soybeans, 1440 and a quarter up three. July, 1420 and a quarter up two and three quarters. November, 1267 and a quarter down one and three quarters. May soybean meal, 419 up 120. May soybean oil, 5043 down one. April live cattle, 126.70 up 25. March feeders, 134.95 up 22 and a half. April lean hogs, 79.35 up 87 and a half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
I had put forth the theory late last week that because we were going to have a report on a day where we were going into a three-day weekend, it was going to be at 11 o'clock, the markets will close at 2, not open for 3 days, that we might see some degree of volatility before the report. It isn't happening. Why is it so quiet out there?
I think probably world news, China backing off, saying they've got plenty. And the exports are coming out of South America. So I think that's a big part of it. It's just the world news and the stuff is getting out of South America. Just is slow. I think those are two things. And then I think the other thing is that, even though we got a three-day weekend afterwards, the rest of the world at 11 o'clock is already closed. So the report might not really make anybody go crazy until next week.
Right. Well, I really wonder about this corn market. I have sat in this chair the last 2 years, and I have watched corn go limit up both years. It went a limit up in 11 in the March contract. I mean, the May contract, it went limit up in 12 in the May contract. Are we setting ourselves up for some violent move in the corn pit again this year?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be, it's been ballyhooed. Is it going to really tear things up? And I think as soon as the report's over, we'll be talking weather, and I think weather will be more important than the report is.
So a five-minute coffee break and back to weather, you think?
Yeah, I think so, unless they shock us, and I don't expect them to shock us. We're tight supplied worldwide. Are they going to tighten it any? I don't know. And what are they going to do for next year's crop? They're going to say we're going to have a regular crop. Well, we already know they've done that before. And I don't think the acres are going to be that big of a shock. I think the corn acres could be up a hair. I think the bean acres will be up more than the corn acres. And I think the cotton acres won't be down as bad as they thought due to cotton going back over 90 cents. And a lot of people that in the cotton country sold cotton and decided to plant a bunch instead of planting none.
So then we go back to weather, and when we do that, we say, well, it's been wet.
It's been wet. That means we're going to have a late spring, which, gosh, a late spring, we'll have less yields, and we'll have less corn acres and more bean acres, and all kind of assumptions that usually don't happen unless it's extreme, extreme, extreme. And, you know, corn planted the last week of April and the first week of May usually make more than corn planted April 1st.
So pretty good corn later on. I guess the one thing that I would say about this weather, and we'll have to see, because you know, we've had these freezes out in Kansas, for example, in the last couple of days, and some of the wheat out there is jointed. There has been some damage. We won't be able to really quantify it probably until harvest, but I think that at this point we could probably say the wheat crop is headed downward in yield, not upward in yield.
I don't know if you can say that yet. I was in crop insurance for 20 years, and I appraised wheat crops at 2 bushel, 5 bushel, 10 bushel, and half the time they made 80 bushel.
Okay. Thanks, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.